For Oasis Audio, I'm Wayne Shepherd, talking with T.C. Cannon, the author of My Big Bottom Blessing. And T.C., before we go any further, I have to tell you that I've read hundreds and perhaps thousands of books and I've interviewed hundreds of authors. You have the most unique title for a book I've ever heard.
Thank you.
But it does express what's in the book, doesn't it?
It does. It definitely does.
How Hating My Body Led to Loving My Life. And we'll get into this in a moment, but I have to ask you about your name, T.C. It's not T.C., the letters, it's T-E-A-S-I. Where does T.C. come from?
Well, my mom was 19 when she had me. She was the typical hippie, and she says that she had a nightmare in which she named me something very common like Susie. And I was in third grade in her nightmare, and the teacher said, "Susie, come on up." And like 20 girls came to the front of the room, and she decided she wanted to make up a completely original name because she did not want that to happen to me. So she made up my name.
She didn't have any particular significance to it. She just made it up.
That's what she says. She just came up with it out of the blue, and I put it in a name computer, you know, one of those name origins, and it came back with completely original name, no origin found.
Which is kind of fun, isn't it?
It is kind of fun. Although, you know, when I was growing up, it was kind of sad because there were never keychains or, you know, coffee mugs that you can buy with your name at the mall, and never any plaques that had this great meaning of your name. But I love it now. I'm loving it.
All right. The real test is, what did you name your kids?
Well, I named my daughter Carlina Ann, and my son is I've got two sons, Benjamin Eric and Samuel Joseph. So they're kind of mainstream names.
Mm-hmm. They can go out and buy their license plate at the gift
shop.
They
can. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And your husband's Bill. We meet Bill in the book.
Yes.
Wonderful Bill.
He's amazing.
How did you meet?
We actually met at church. He came with a group of people from Oregon, and I was at the time a single mom, and he came with a group of musicians and started playing worship at our church, and I just kind of got to know him through that.
I think you tell part of that story in the book, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you describe this book? When people see My Big Bottom Blessing, How Hating My Body Led to Loving My Life, and they kind of scratch their head and say, well, what's that about it? Is it as obvious as it sounds?
It actually is, and there's obviously more to it than just what you see in the title, but really I just look at it as a memorial of God's goodness and how he can take the most unlikely things and use them in our lives as huge blessings. And really it was the thing I hated the most about myself for years, what I would have considered just really the bane of my existence, and God used that to completely save my life. And not only that, but now I've written a book about it, and it's becoming even more of a blessing as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's been great.
Throughout the book, you have these inner conversations. I recently talked to someone about the concept of what we preach to ourselves. You were preaching different messages at different times to yourself, weren't you?
Yes, and, I really felt like I did have these, you know, inner critics. They were all my own self, but they almost had these little personalities of their own, and they would attack me for different things. Like I say in the book, I've got Trainer, and all she cared about was my physical appearance and what I ate. And I just felt like this inner critic just constantly nagging me about my outer beauty. And then the other voices I would hear that would come down on me for my choices, my moral choices, the places where I was failing before Christ just as a person, and then even after accepting Jesus as my Savior, just failing to meet up to this perfect Christian girl standard.
So these inner conversations continued into your adult years?
Oh, yes. They continued into, you know, several years, and even still, I sometimes, you know, I think we all will, until we get to heaven, battle inner thoughts that we have to take captive. I mean, that's what the Bible even says, is take every thought captive. And but they have changed over the years, and especially since this healing in this area of what I feel about my body, I don't hear some of the same old wounding comments within my own ear, you know, between my own ears, but I still have to battle insecurities and places where I feel like I'm going to fail just like anyone else. But it's just a practice of silencing those crazy voices and putting them in their right place.
When did you meet the Lord, TC?
Well, this sounds kind of crazy, but I did grow up in a kind of a religion. It ended up going south and it ended up turning into a cult, actually. But so I had a knowledge of Jesus that was skewed. And then for many years, my family we weren't practicing any of our faith. But so I consider that I knew Jesus, but he became my Lord when I was 21.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me any of the circumstances?
Well, yeah.
Because you must have been struggling with body image at that time.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you struggle with body image, it follows you everywhere. Everybody I met, especially, you know, other women, immediately the first thing that's going through my mind is a comparing, like, well, at least I'm not as fat as she is, or, you know, wow, I'm not as thin as she is. And, you know, so you've got this constantly following you. My body image problems back then, right before I really gave my life to the Lord, had led me to promiscuity. I was doing all kinds of things that were just breaking my heart. And the final epic episode was just a night where I felt kind of like the Lord had said, go ahead and have her, but you can't have her soul to Satan. And I mean, it was just a dark, dark night. And I realized I've got to jump off this throne quickly and give it to Jesus, or I'm going to ruin everything.
Mm-hmm. Was there someone the Lord used, any particular person in that instance?
You know, not really. It was kind of just a thing of really recognizing my own wretchedness apart from him, and realizing that I was going to lose all my good friends and that I was going to ruin the relationships that meant the most to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that the thought of the loneliness and the utter despair of being alone was the pain that pricked my heart. I think we all have different things that can get our attention. For me, it was the thought of being completely alienated from the people I loved.
Hmm. Do you find as people begin to read this book now, and you start, I'm sure you've been talking to people about this for a long time now, but do you find that this issue of body image begins in childhood and continues all the way through adulthood?
Oh, there's no doubt. The women that I've spoken to can pinpoint early on in their childhood, you know, as early as even kindergarten for some, the stage of their life in which they began to think poorly about their body, their externals. And then that's when the teasing really starts. I mean, you get into school age and teasing just starts. Even the older kids will tease the younger kids. And it just follows you through. And really, it's a matter of we've been told a lie from such an early age, and we just believe it. We continue to believe it, and our society perpetuates it, and even the church sometimes perpetuates it. We are actually sometimes aiding and abetting in this lie that external beauty means so much when it really doesn't.
Well, I think we can all easily think of ways that the culture degrades those who may not look the part that the culture thinks they should look like. But what are some of the more subtle things, some of the more subtle messages that, as you said, even in the church, that we perpetuate that hurt?
Well, I think one of the biggest ones is we all make such a huge deal out of people losing weight. I think I'm kind of blessed and cursed in this new awareness of mine, in that I pick up on conversations all around me that have to do with weight or how people look. And not that it's wrong to say, oh my gosh, you look great, or I love your outfit, but it's the value that we place on it that concerns me. Like when people come into church and they've lost weight, you'll hear the same excitement. Oh my gosh, Cindy, you've lost so much weight. And what that does subtly is it's going to make Cindy think, well, what did you think about me before I lost the weight if you're so pleased with me now? And, well, what are you going to think about me if I gain this back? It's just this subtle kind of message that you're more important to us, or you're more exciting to us now that you've lost weight. Please don't gain it back.
Very interesting.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I can see that easily. Now, you use humor throughout your book. I mean, that's so obvious. And talk to me about that humor. Where does that come from? And obviously, you know, God has made you that way, but what's accomplished by that?
Well, I think that the humor comes from transparency, because I would say that if we all got real honest about what's going on in our brains, we would be laughing our heads off, because, you know, what we think is often just quite humorous.
It's pretty funny. I agree.
Yeah. You know, so I think the humor just kind of came out in being so honest about what's going on between my ears, and just having that moment of, you know what, I have nothing to lose. I'm just going to put it out there on the page, and, you know, not to make fun of my own life, but to take it lightly. Not to take myself so seriously that I'm, you know, living in this pit of despair. And I guess that's just where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. It's very important what you raise, the issues that you raise in this book. But do people come along and say, what, you're just ignoring the health benefits of all this?
You know, I haven't had anybody say that yet. But I, you know, in the book, I'm clear that I want to be healthy, and I believe in God wants us to be healthy. I just want my doctor to tell me whether I'm healthy or not. I don't want Vogue magazine or even arbitrary weight charts to tell me I'm healthy. I want to go to the right people to find that out, and get a physical and be diligent about taking care of myself. I love to exercise. I'm actually have been in a joint ministry with a woman who is the founder of Finding Balance. It's a ministry for women or men who suffer with eating disorders. It's about finding balance with food. And so that's what I would say, is I am so not condoning, hey, let's all just eat Oreos and let ourselves go. But it's really, for me, what I'm after is let's take a look at our value system and get our value definition from our Heavenly Father and not our society.
Mm-hmm. Well, give us a glimpse of your life outside of this book. This is your first book, by the way, and that may change some direction for you. I don't know. I hope so. But you also must do a lot of speaking on this topic.
Well, I do here and there, and that's picking up a little. But for now, I work part-time with my husband at our church. He's the children's pastor. So I've been doing some work with him. I've got the three kids, which is obviously anyone out there who has three children knows that's pretty full-time.
That's a full-time job.
And then I'm involved heavily with the women's ministry at my church. So I am regularly doing things with that and trying to spend time with my friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a need to step into more of a counseling role at all because of all this, what you've learned?
What I have found is that my opportunities to really just share one-on-one time with women that comes up kind of organically is picking up, and that I love that. Times to go to coffee or to just give women an opportunity to just really open up and share what's going on in their hearts. Part of me, I don't know whether I would ever end up going into full-time counseling, because there's this part of me that gets a little claustrophobic in a small room, and I just need to be out. But, yeah. You know, who knows what the Lord will do?
Sure, I understand that, but you're open to His leading.
Yes.
When someone picks this book up, and people are going to both read it and now with this audio edition get to listen to your book, what is the best thing they could say back to you as the author?
I think what I would love to hear is that after reading my story and seeing the miracles of God's love, that they are going to give God a chance to not only heal them, but transform them. That they would find hope in my story, and that it would give them the courage to, like I just already said, let down those walls of self-protection. And that they'd be willing to see things differently, because it takes a willingness. We're so bombarded by the definitions of beauty in our culture that it takes almost bravery to step out of that and say, no longer will I believe these lies. I'm going to accept the truth of my Heavenly Father And that's what I would love to hear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Now,
yes. Throughout your book, you talk about your husband, Bill, and the support that he's been to you and the encouragement he's been. Talk about the role of people in our lives when we do struggle with these issues of weight and body image and the role that other people can play in encouraging us.
Yeah, you know, the thing that, obviously, it's wonderful if we have people in our lives who love us for who we are and who celebrate the gifts and the skills and the talents that we bring to life in general. And I wish that everyone could have a husband as amazing as Bill, because he has just been the perfect man for me, because he has diligently sought to see me through God's eyes. I've been in every weight known during this marriage. I've been thinner, I've been bigger, I've had 3 children. You know, he's seen it all, and it's never changed what he says of me or to me. But we, you know, the bottom line is we may not be able to affect those in our lives. We might not be able to get our friends or family members to quit talking about our weight or quit encouraging us to go on another diet. It really is going to come to that place of focusing on that vertical relationship more than ever, and finding our peace and our joy and our wholeness in the love and the absolute adoration of our Heavenly Father, and then letting that kind of just be an example to the people in our lives.
What if there's no Bill in the life of the person who's struggling, no spouse who's supportive, who understands, maybe they're even critical?
Right. I've thought of that a lot, and I know that there are women who have husbands who do speak badly of them and deride them, and it breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. And like I said, those are, you know, in those situations, we, you know, my prayer is that those people who are maybe don't have others in their lives who are supporting them would have this extra supernatural experience of the tangible love of God. Because really, we have nowhere else to go but up to Him and to cling to. And then also finding, praying for friends and people who can come into their lives who can support them. Like, and I've noticed in my life, as I've just grown healthier and decided, no, I'm not going to keep talking about dieting and I'm not going to keep talking badly about myself, my conversations with my friends have totally changed. I think that we might have to just be the change and then have that permeate into those people in our lives.
And you do that more by just changing your attitude and your conversation rather than the actual topics of conversation? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, for me, I used to talk all the time about diets, or I just want to lose 15 pounds, or if I could just get these 30 pounds off. And it seemed like no matter what, the conversation would somehow turn to either putting myself down or talking about someone's weight. And I just don't talk about that ever anymore. I don't talk about diets or... there's so much more to talk about, I found. It makes me more interested in what's actually going on in the lives of my friends.
So when you sit down to a lunch meeting, you don't talk about how guilty you feel for eating what you're about to eat or that kind of thing, huh?
Right. I just enjoy it. Now, you know, I am trying just personally to not eat as much sugar because I know it's not healthy for me. So I might say, oh, you know, make a comment about the sugar, but it has nothing to do with how I feel about myself as a person or trying to lose weight. It's just more about a health comment, but that's so rare. I just have found freedom in not feeling like I need to curse what God has given in my life as a blessing.
Well, it's a wonderful thing you've learned, and wonderful that you want to pass these lessons on to others. You know better than I do how many people struggle with these issues, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, while I was actually working on this book, I was watching a Dateline or a Good Morning America or something, and I saw they had these experts that said they had just done this Glamour magazine poll, and 97% of the women that were polled admitted that they think negative thoughts about themselves every day, sometimes up to 100 times a day.
Wow.
And, you know, it is just rare to find a woman, if you asked her to be gut-level honest, it's rare to find a woman who loves herself and who looks in the mirror and sees something precious. And that breaks my heart. That's, you know, that's why I'm writing this.
And here's what Jesus is saying to them.
Yes. I mean, Jesus is looking at all of us and saying, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Not only that, I adore you. And I think nothing but good thoughts of you all day long. And for someone to know how many hairs I have on my head, that is absolute adoration of me. And really, we just have to choose to believe it. We, you know, I find that women, as women and even men, we pick and choose what we want to believe of the Bible. We're fine believing all the stuff about Adam and Eve and Moses and Noah. But when it comes to what God's saying about me, why do I find it hard to believe that part? And so really, we just have to say, I'm going to believe the whole thing and not the lies.
It's a great message. It's a great book. My Big Bottom Blessing, How Hating My Body Led to Loving My Life by T.C. Cannon, now available as an audiobook from Oasis. It's in print from Worthy Publishing. T.C., thanks for getting the opportunity to get to know you a little better, and congratulations on this book.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate it.
For Oasis Audio, I'm Wayne Shepherd.